Right now, we got Mark Dorison here in the studio, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners, to help us wrap up the week and look back at another very busy week here in Orange County and around the area. Mark, thanks for being with us today.
Always a pleasure. Great to see you, Aaron.
So let's start by talking about budget issues, because that was the sort of big discussion there kind of around the county. You've got the Chapel Hill, Carrboro, Hillsborough budgets being presented, County Manager Bonnie Hammersley presenting her budget as well. Public hearing coming up next week, Thursday, the first one in the Witted Building at 7 p.m. and then another one in Chapel Hill a week after that. So everyone's going to have a chance to weigh in on this before the commissioners finally vote. But this year there will be a proposed property tax increase, right, for the first time in a few years.
That's right. We were expecting that, you know, with the passage of the bonds in 2016, the $125 million school bond and the $5 million of housing bonds. So those come with costs, of course, and so the tax increase that's proposed by the manager is really designed to address the debt service that is going to be required to service those bonds. So it's a pretty tight budget. It's a continuation rather than an expansion budget, given that we are taking on this additional debt. But there are some really interesting things in there that I'm very excited to see. Two quickly that I'll point out. One is, the manager's recommending taking some money from the county's fund balance to give to the school districts to address deferred maintenance issues. So that's been a big issue with schools. It's part of the reason we got into the need for the bond.
And that wasn't even in the district's request, right? That was added to it.
That's right. Yeah. The commissioners have been pushing, you know, and I've really been pushing the commissioners hard in the last couple of years to reduce the amount of money we keep in the fund balance, kind of the savings account, which I certainly view as, you know, if you have needs, that's why you have a savings account. You know, there's a minimum the state requires us to have. We have much more than that. And so the manager, Bonnie Hammersley, has been very clear that if you do that, if you take money out of that, it really ought to be used for one-time expenses rather than continuing costs, because you have to pay for those next year.
Yep, yep.
So this recommendation, which again was not requested by the schools, was her creative and innovative way to reconcile the commissioner's desire to tap into some of those funds and the needs that are out there. And so this is going to bring extra money to the schools to address some of those deferred maintenance, which is why she's a great manager. It's very creative and very thoughtful and reflects the, you know, a bunch of different needs that she's heard.
And for people who are just kind of tangentially in on this, what are some of those deferred maintenance projects? So, some really significant ones.
Yeah, I mean there's a range, you know, but part of the reason we're sort of in this dire situation with older schools is that stuff has been put off. So things like, you know, HVAC upgrades, roofing issues with moisture and that can lead to mold, things that have been put off because we put so much emphasis on operating. So this will, you know, like taking care of your own house or your own car, you know, doing that regular maintenance, you know, helps you put off the kind of bigger projects or the need for those. So there's a whole range of those from also ADA upgrades, safety issues, things like that. The other really exciting thing I'm really excited about that's in the manager's recommended budget is something we've talked about for a couple of years, but haven't really figured out how to do, which is the idea of creating a locally funded housing voucher program. So there's obviously the federal Housing Choice Voucher Program, which is, you know, both underfunded and the vouchers are underfunded, and there's a much bigger need than the vouchers can meet. There's always a long waiting list. So one of the things we talked about for years is whether there's a way we could direct some local funds to supplement that. And so Bonnie Hammersley is recommending a pilot local housing voucher program, which is exciting and really reflects, I think, the commissioner's prioritization of the needs for folks who need affordable housing.
Are there other communities in the area or other sort of communities around that do something like this?
I'm not sure of any locally that do this. I know there have been some other places around the country that have done that with the idea of targeting particular hard-to-serve populations. So we're exploring that, but, you know, it's going to be a small pilot to start. It may serve, you know, four or five families, but it will be, you know, that's four or five families who otherwise wouldn't have access to housing.
So. Yeah. Well, we're talking about the federal housing vouchers. That's Section 8, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And I mean, one of the issues, I mean, you mentioned several issues with that. Another one is a lot of landlords now in apartment complexes aren't even taking those vouchers anymore. So this would probably also have to involve working with developers and landlords and property managers to get them on board too, right?
That's exactly right. You know, it's, you know, the Housing Choice Voucher Program is one where people take the voucher to get private rental housing. And so you've got to have landlords who are willing to accept them. There are requirements for the program that landlords have to meet, with, you know, administrative requirements. And there's also, you know, for a lot of landlords in this market, it's more lucrative. They can charge rents that are so much higher than the voucher would pay that they don't have to take them, right? They sort of price the voucher holder out, which is unfortunate. One of the things we do in Orange County because of the cost of rental housing is we go up to the maximum amount of the voucher. So we actually we give out less vouchers because we have to spend more money for each one. You know, you're given a pot of money and you can decide how many slices of the pie you cut that into. We have to do fewer because otherwise the vouchers, people can't use them because of the high rents in this community.
Yeah. Speaking with Mark Dorison, Orange County Board of Commissioners, and this is why I love having you on, and we have you and the mayors come on every single week, but I was looking at the manager's budget presentation just online, the PowerPoint and everything, and sort of focusing on the tax increase and the money for schools. I completely passed over this, and this is huge news. Like, this is really, really cool.
It's wonderful. It's, you know, a lot of folks in the community have been talking about affordable housing for a long time. One of the frustrations I've had is we did a lot of talking and not a lot of doing.
Yes.
But we're finally, I think everybody, all the local governments are moving forward to really prioritize affordable housing at every front, you know, and I think, I believe the Carborough budget is going to have a tax increase, and that is going to be dedicated to affordable housing. So they're looking at a half cent that will go to affordable housing.
Mayor LaBelle said that earlier today.
Really exciting. I mean, Chapel Hill is talking about an affordable housing bond. There's a lot of new attention given to this issue, and in part, we've been pushed into it because of some of the pressures around manufactured housing and people potentially being displaced. But also, I think, you know, that there's enough people who have move this to the top of their priority list. Mm-hmm. And we're very lucky in the county. The managers have been very creative. Cheryl Hampton, who's our relatively new housing director, has just hit the ground running and is working with, you know, really working on bringing everybody to the table so we're maximizing our efficiencies, not working across purposes, not duplicating efforts. And hopefully, my goal is a year from now, when you and I are talking still, we'll be able to point to some real specific successes that have happened on the ground. Here's new affordable housing that's been built. Here's new money that is now being accessed. Here's families that have been able to secure housing that they were in, unsecure or homelessness before. So,
and I think it's also equally important that we're coming at this problem from a whole bunch of different directions. You've got the bond countywide, citywide in Chapel Hill. You've got Carborough devoting a certain percentage of tax dollars to it. Other municipalities doing it as well. You've got Clay Grubb at Glen Lennox signing on to the master leasing program, which the Chamber of Commerce has been pushing. You've got this program for housing vouchers. And I think that's extremely important too, because as we've talked about and as we've said on the air a whole bunch of times, the housing problem, the affordable housing issue in Orange County is too large to be dealt with just one fell swoop. There's not one thing that we can do to solve the problem. So as many creative ideas that we can come up with, the better. And what I'm loving seeing is all of the elected officials and county officials and residents coming up with some really cool inventive ideas to actually move the dial on this.
I'm appreciating that so much, too. And that was a really good summary of kind of the enthusiasm of what's happening, I think, collectively. The other thing that I'm excited about in this context is we're really starting to talk about this issue, not only about does a resident have a safe and affordable place to live. We're also thinking about how that is impacted by access to transportation, how it's impacted by living wage, access to you know, to those other resources. So we're not only working, all the housing folks are working together, but we're also working, you know, we're working better with folks who are doing economic development, folks who are working on transit issues, folks who are working in the public health, you know, the Family Success Alliance, which has approached it from a sort of a child anti-poverty approach, and the schools, and really seeing how, you know, that this is all connected. And so even when we're putting a lot of attention in one area, recognizing that there are other impacts even besides once we find a house for someone to live in.
Other items from the manager's budget that are worth highlighting here?
Well, those were the two that I was mm-hmm. that I was most excited about. I think you know, there is I mean, there's several important capital improvement projects that are coming. The new detention center mm-hmm. is one that is really critical, and I know has been controversial. And I'm hoping as that process continues and as the community comes together and talks about it, we're also talking about how the current jail is really becoming more and more untenable as mm-hmm. a place that for a community that cares about its residents, as a place for, you know, for housing incarcerated people. And so, you know, there's a lot of aspects to that that will be in that conversation. That's one of the things. I think also that we're really continuing to try to direct as much support to the schools as we can. That's always an important element in the community, and it's one the commissioners recognize and value. So those are the key things. I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of people saying, oh, there's going to be a tax increase. It's always good to remind folks there hasn't been one in a long time. We've been tried to be very diligent about holding the line on that and reminding folks that this is driven by the vote that happened in the community 2 years ago. And mm-hmm. so
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more information on county government, more information on the county manager's budget on that website as well. First public hearing on it is going to be Thursday, May 10th, so next week, Thursday, 7 p.m. in the Witted Building. Thursday, May 17th is the second public hearing. Will that be in Chapel Hill Town Hall?
Yes.
I think, yeah, Chapel Hill.
I think it's in the, is it in the Southern Human Services Center?
Oh, is it? You're probably right. Yeah, Southern Human Services Center. Neither of us are looking at the website. Yeah,
right.
Probably Southern Human. We'll mention it between now and
then.
We'll figure it out, yeah. So other items on the commissioner's plate this week. We had Jean Bolduc here in the studio a couple of hours ago, and she was saying, man, the week began with the Confederate flag being raised just outside of Hillsboro, and it's been such a busy week in the news that it feels like that was forever ago, but it's still very fresh in a lot of people's minds here locally, which brings up the fact that county commissioners are planning to debate that flag ordinance and possibly vote on it later on this month, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, yeah, the Orange County Human Relations Commission held a public forum earlier in the week, was very well attended, lots of very passionate opinions on both sides of the issue. And the commissioners are going to be considering, you know, the possibility of amending the Unified Development Ordinance. And to be clear, to, you know, not to regulate the Confederate flag, mm-hmm. but, you know, as courts, all courts in this country have said, including the Supreme Court, that local governments can impose reasonable time, place, manner restrictions on otherwise First Amendment speech, and as long as they're content neutral. And so the proposals that we're going to be looking at are relate to the size of flags, to the height of flagpoles, not to the type of flag that gets flown on any of those. It's been an interesting debate. I've gotten a lot of angry emails from people saying, you can't regulate what I do on my private property. The fact is the government regulates what you do on your private property all the time, right? There's all kinds of regulations that say, you know, that keep you or keep your neighbor from, say, creating a nuisance, right? We have zoning laws and mm-hmm. restrictions on what kind of, you know, what you can do on your property. We have noise ordinances. We have a whole host of private property regulations, but they are designed to create the acknowledged balance between private property rights and the community's rights to, you know, the quiet enjoyment and the right to use and enjoy their property as they see fit. So, you know, it's a contentious issue, but I think we are heading down a path that is consistent with the First Amendment, consistent with private property rights. If the ordinance passes, and you wanted to fly whatever flag you wanted, you'd be able to, as long as it met the size limitations of any other flag.
Yeah.
There was an interesting, I can't remember if I mentioned this last time. If I did, I apologize for my encroaching dementia, but You know, there was a big case probably 15 years ago where the Bob Evans on 15-5-1.
Yes. Yeah, you did mention that.
That's right. They flew an American flag and they lost because Durham had a regulation. So.
Will if the ordinance that Orange County will consider, will that be essentially the same as Durham's ordinance or?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the Durham ordinance in a while, but the regulations that are being considered are the size of flags and the potential height of flagpoles and potential setbacks from. You know, can you have it right on the property line or does it have to be set back a certain number of feet? So, again, things that are really based in the impacts of that use on adjoining and surrounding neighbors.
Other things county commissioners are considering?
On that issue?
On any issue.
Well, they're considering things.
Issues on your mind.
We've all got all of us have lists of crazy schemes. I mean, one of the things that's sort of...
Full of crazy schemes.
Yes, exactly,
right?
Yeah. One of the things that's looming, I think, in the back of all of our minds is the coming legislative session. You know, we took a beating last time around, particularly on the impact fee. And so there's, you know, of course, it's all rumors and speculation, but... we're hoping there'll be some positive things coming down on education, and hopefully we will avoid more negative things related to local government authority, discretion, ability to innovate. But you just never know what's happening.
That is an interesting question, though, because now we're talking about budgets for the county government for the upcoming year, and the impact fee and the whole debate with Orange County last year was this is a significant part of the budget. So what is the impact of losing that fee this year and beyond?
Well, you know, I think the result of the fee being lost was between $2 and $3 million that goes to school construction. Now, we've been fortunate that because of the public facilities ordinance, because of some slowdowns in enrollment, and because of these new plans to renovate and add capacity, the need for a new school is not looming. But certainly when that need comes, that's going to be a significant loss, and we're going to have to make that revenue up from somewhere else, either from a bond or from a tax increase. So,
yep. Speaking with Orange County Commissioner Mark Dorison, and before I let you go, just because I'm thinking about it now, we're talking about the Confederate flag issue. There is a change.org petition that's circulating right now, and I don't even know if you've seen this yet, but it's to try to get the county commissioners to repeal the, I think it was 1959 resolution that a past county commissioner board had passed declaring 15501 to be Jefferson Davis National Highway. I wasn't sure if you've seen that or if you had thoughts about it.
I haven't seen the petition, but I have heard about that, and I'm certainly interested in the current county commission either withdrawing or rescinding our support for that. I think it would certainly be reasonable given where we are and what we've learned about the impacts of those kind of legacy markers and things.
OrangeCountyNC.gov for more on county government. And again, mark your calendars for next Thursday, May 10th, 7 p.m. in the Whitted Building, first public hearing on Bonnie Hammersley's proposed budget. Mark Dorison, thank you so much.
Great to see you, Aaron. Thank you.